We're back for 2023. It is Games Van Der Geek and Ash Whaling from wellplayed.com.au joins us. Ash, morning!
Good morning, Dan. And how are we going 2023? Is it rocking and rolling for you?
Mate, it's rocking and rolling. Just cats and kittens out there whaling, limousine riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, being a son of a gun. You know, that kind of thing. But it's been a big year already. Like 2023, it's only February and everything's happening.
Mid-February and it's already coming out with every cylinder just going full blast. It's incredible.
It's like blasting rope. It's exactly like that. But we need to talk about this Hogwarts Legacy. So you're the first person in the land to like figure out this whole world, because the Harry Potter universe, this has been years in the making.
Professor Weasley!
We don't know what magic caused this.
So what's it like?
So Hogwarts Legacy is basically the most definitive Wizarding World experience you can have with a controller in your hand. Short of getting an actual owl coming down your chimney and sending you to the school of witchcraft and wizardry, it's a, finger quote, a Harry Potter game, but there's no Harry Potter in it. It's set 200 years before Harry Potter. You still get to go to the school and you get to be a wizard. Pretty neat. But it is the biggest Wizarding World game to ever come out. It's sold some ridiculous amount of copies. I'd love to tell you how many, but it just keeps jumping by like 200,000 every time I check the number. But on its release day, nearly 2 million people were watching it on Twitch. That's how interested people were in it.
Jeez, yeah, and you get to go to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. See, this is so much expectations because it's one of the most popular books slash movie franchises, but now a game. Does it live up to the hype?
It's absurd. I didn't know what to expect. I just thought like, hey, I wonder how many things they'll actually get to nail and actually get to sort of tick off. That's what I expected. It was just ticks all the way down. I get to go to school. I get to do classes. I get to leave school and go to cool nearby places. I get to meet cool lore characters. And then like, besides the whole school story, there's another whole story where, you know, the fate of the world hangs in the balance and it's up to you to solve the problem. And then when you do solve that problem and you save the world, you just go back to school, finish your school year. You got exams coming up.
You got to study. Spells in video games, they're pretty unique. The combat can pull, attack, defend, do weird pushy things like the force. How's it all come together?
Dude, you get basically a massive range of all kinds of different spells. They all sort of do different things. They're sort of in like schools of what they're supposed to do. You sort of got like damaging ones that are for hurting people. And you sort of got like you said, moving spells to move things up, down, left, right, flip it over. And then stuff like, you know, make things levitate, make things turn into other things. It's up to you. Like when you're in combat, you use them to sort of flick people around or blow them up or whatever. But when you're out of combat, you use them to solve puzzles, you know, make this float so you can jump on it, pull this over so you can grab hold of it, that kind of stuff. Really full on.
And do you get to say Expecto Patronum and Leviosa?
Leviosa.
Mate, you get to make sure that you're pronouncing it just right because it's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
And there's a few Dumbledores in there to go through?
There's plenty of Dumbledores. You actually get to fully explore the Hogwarts castle. And I swear, if you sat down and actually tried to map out every square corner of it, you'd be there for hours anyway. It's just a labyrinth of doors, of corridors and stairs.
It was getting like panned on the internet too, just like every single franchise when it does get launched. But the Harry Potter franchise, is it worth getting? What are your final thoughts?
The bottom line is that if you have even a passing interest in Harry Potter and you like the world that was built around Harry Potter, this is you immersing yourself in it. Like, if you want to experience wizarding, this is the definitive way to do so.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Hogwarts Legacy. We should be in it as character actors. But you were just telling me, like, the Mario movie, it's not that far away. I think May, the greatest platform game series of all time, but now made into a movie. I mean, they tried in the 90s to make one, but now they've officially got the movie trailer out there. It looks pretty fun, but the advertising behind it, you're actually like official plumbing commercials are out there now.
Mate.
We're the Mario Brothers and plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame.
The people who are making the movie have decided to go all in on the best advertising campaign they can. So they've made a legitimate ad for the Super Mario Brothers plumbing company that they're running on television. That itself was fun and interesting. And they actually like referenced a lot of things from older Super Mario media, like their old cartoon and stuff like that. But they took it one step further. If you are in Brooklyn, like physically existing within that space, there's posters going up on trees and shop fronts that say like, if you've got a problem with your pipes, go to Mario Brothers. And like, it has a little thing that you can actually rip off a piece of paper. It has a phone number. And if you call it, you get the answering service for the Super Mario Brothers. brothers.
We're faster than the others. You'll be hooked on the brothers.
So if you do actually have a problem with your pipes, plumbing is your game. And they actually do have a website where you can actually learn more.
Everything is sort of fleshed out as if it's a real business. I don't think they're actually unclogging toilets, but they're getting so close to being able to do exactly that. Like, you can call them, you can email them, you can check their website. It all works. Just they don't unclog your toilet. That's it.
What if you ask them both for ice cream cone? Do both of them say yes?
They say yes. What happens if you ring up and say, I've got a missing princess. Can you deal with that? Is that their actual focus?
My princess is in another castle. Go away. Shiggity, shiggity, shrug. Guess what, idiot? What you do today? Wrong. I don't know if you were the same when it came to the Flash trailer, but to see Michael Keaton's Batman back in action, thoughts, Ash Whaling?
Yeah, I'm Batman.
Mate, I took time out of making my lunch to watch the trailer and let my lunch go cold just because I was like, oh, damn, that is the original Batman. Michael Keaton is known for going to events and just telling people that, like, you know, my life advice is just two words, and it's very quick for me to share them with you all. I'm Batman. He's been doing that for like decades.
And obviously this is a very different Batman out of retirement, probably.
Yeah.
He probably has an incontinence problem, but he looks as good as ever, Michael Keaton.
He does. I mean, it helps that 90% of his body's covered with black, you know, latex rubber, but you know, that's besides the point.
And bat nipples.
Exactly. My understanding is that this Flash movie, the reason that, like, we not only get one Batman, we also get our good friend Mr. Affleck back as a Batman as well.
Double Batman. The thought
is that apparently this Flash movie is going to be the thing that destroys the DC universe as we know it and reboots it for the future of the DC universe. It's got some time travel, it's got some dimensional stuff, a bit of multiversal stuff going on with the fact that there's two Batmans. And I think at the end of the day, we'll be getting a whole new DC universe because old mate Ezra Miller's Flash destroyed the old one.
You may as well destroy it. But as soon as Black Adam came out, I'm like, yeah, you guys are over. Aquaman, a bit the same. I'm like, not great. But apparently there's General Zod that's going to reset everything. So he's just going to annihilate the universe, and then there'll be no more superheroes, therefore your chance to have new superheroes out there.
Exactly. It's a reset button, a huge reset button.
And they need it. And last but not least, The Last of Us. Man, I've been watching this as episode 5 broke loose, and all hell broke loose in this episode too. We saw some awesome introductory episodes too. I think it's probably one of the best already TV shows I've seen in a very long time.
There's no halfway with this. We finish what we started.
But like, we had Bill and Frank's tale more brutality in the last one too. Spoiler alert. There is a creepy looking creature in it.
It's just unreal. It was actually a bit of a hard sell for me approaching my wife and saying, hey, do you want to watch, you know, a movie about an apocalyptic future where human beings are barely holding on and everything else has been turned into mindless zombies? And she's just like, I told you I don't like The Walking Dead. And like, fair enough. But as far as an adaptation goes, they've done that thing where they are adapting the source material, which, if you don't know, The Last of Us was a game, an incredible game on the PlayStation platform. They're adapting the material, but they're changing it where it matters to make it better. That's the interesting thing is some things are being told in slightly different ways, but they're doing it so that it actually makes it better. They're actually filling in gaps. Like, there's things that we didn't ever see happen in the game story that we get to see here. The performances from people like Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal, who play Ellie and Joel, just so grounded and real. That I think I'd just watch Pedro Pascal play anybody, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyone, anywhere.
And they were both in Game of Thrones too. He was the Viper and she was one of the... What was she?
She was Lyanna Mormont.
It finishes on so much tragedy. Not that I'm going to wreck it for anyone, but it is must-see television. And I didn't even know how they made half of it. There's things plowing through flames. There's explosions. All hell literally broke loose in that last episode.
It is a visually spectacular show. The ruined environments look so incredibly realistic, and just it's unbelievable seeing what... It's been like, what, 30 years or something? Like 20 to 30 years since, you know, society collapsed. And it's not your average sort of, oh, they dropped nukes and there's nothing left story. It's just quite literally that everything went to heck and this is what's left, and people are just desperately clinging to what's left of humanity, and nobody trusts anyone. That's the interesting thing. The underrunning theme is that it's not the monsters you need to be scared of. It's people.
It's the humans. There's something down there. Dan out. Burke, feed me.
Oh my God, the HBO adaptation of Trapdoor. Can't wait. You know what? Pedro Pascal as Burke. I'd watch it.
Well, Ash Whaling, as always, we're going to do this every single week. We're just going to discuss everything nerd-like. It's been wonderful to catch up with you, and we're looking forward to all those things. The Flash coming out, The Last of Us, the next episode, more Mario, and keep on playing Hogwarts Legacy, because they're Mate, all bloody fantastic.
2023 is packed to the gills, so it has to be weekly just so we can keep up with it all.
Don't bring up gills in Tasmania. We all know about the trout situation.
Ah, yes. Nod sagely. A tear rolls down my cheek. It's Ash Whaling.